It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, listening to God with love, trust, and obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, reading some more today from the biography of Elizabeth Prentice. She was the author of Stepping Heavenward, and she refers to that as Katie because the little girl about whom that book is written was named Catherine. So when Elizabeth refers to her book, she calls it Katie. She says in a letter to a friend, "We are constantly getting letters from afflicted souls that cannot see one ray of light and keep reiterating, I am not reconciled. How fearful it must be to kick thus against the pricks already sharp enough. I believe fully with you that there is no happiness on earth, as there is none in heaven, to be compared with that of losing all things to possess Christ. I look back to two points in my life as standing out from all the rest of it as seasons of peculiar joy, and they are the points where I was crushed under the weight of sorrow. How wonderful this is! How incomprehensible to those who have not learned Christ. Do write me oftener. You are very dear to me, and your letters always welcome. I love you for magnifying the Lord in the midst of your distress. You could not get so into my heart in any other way." Then she writes about her friends who are reading her book, Katie, and she's so amazed at the popularity of this book, which was being serialized in a magazine. August 21st, as we have had only 16 in our family of late, I have not had much to do. Yesterday, we made up a party to the quarry and had just got seated, 29 in all, to eat a very nice dinner, when it began to rain in floods. Each grabbed his plate if he could and rushed to a blacksmith shop not far off. 20 or 30 workmen rushed there too, and there we were, cooped up in the dirt to finish our meal as we best could. It soon stopped pouring, and we had a delightful drive home. Mr. B., with two of his boys, was with us. He is charmed with our house and its view. Katie has made her last appearance in the advance, but I keep getting letters about her from all quarters, and the editors say they have had hundreds. H. has caught up with Hal, and they are exactly of a height, and I feel as if I had a dear little pair of twins. Last evening, the three boys laid their heads in my lap together, all alike content. And there's a footnote about the book, Katie, Stepping Heavenward, an extract from a letter of one of the editors from the magazine in which it had been serialized. "You will notice that the story is completed this week. I wish it could have continued 6 months longer. I have several times been on the point of writing you to express my own personal satisfaction, and more than satisfaction, in reading it, and to acquaint you with the great unanimity and volume of praise of it which has reached us from our readers. I do not think anything since Uncle Tom's Cabin has been more heartily received by newspaper readers. I am sure it will have a great sale if rightly brought before the public. A publisher from London was in our office the other day, signifying a desire to make some arrangement to bring it out there. I have heard almost no unfavorable criticism of the story, nothing which you could make serviceable in its revision. I have heard Dr. P. criticize Ernest, who was the husband of the girl in the story, of course the character and not your portrayal. For myself, I consider the character a natural and consistent one. Perhaps few men are found who are quite so blind to a wife's wants and yet so devoted. But I don't know what the wives might say. We've had hundreds of letters of which the expression has been, we quarrel to see who shall have the first reading of the story." And the story, again, is Stepping Heavenward, a book which is again available, we're glad to say, as is this biography from which I'm reading, The Life of Elizabeth Prentice. She said that she was a little befogged by plausible talk. Dr. S. set me all right again. I'm not skilled in argument, but my heart sides with God in everything. Let me just try to explain that when she talks about this plausible talk, she was always having letters from people asking her about various doctrines. And there were a number of very strange and unscriptural doctrines being circulated in those days. And Elizabeth Prentice had a good, clear mind and a very earnest desire to be true to the scriptures. So she did sometimes get a little befogged by plausible talk, wondering if perhaps some strange doctrine might, in fact, be true. So she says, I'm not skilled in argument, but my heart sides with God in everything, and my conception of his character is such a beautiful one, I feel he cannot err. The more time we spend upon our knees in real communion with God, the better we shall comprehend his wonderful nature. We must not try to submit that nature to the rules by which we judge human beings. Every turn in life brings me back to this, more prayer and more love to thee. Every word of that book, Stepping Heavenward, was a prayer and seemed to come of itself. I never knew how it was written, for my hands were full of something else. Here is a friend's letter. She said, the growth of the religious life in the heart was the one most interesting subject to Elizabeth Prentice. I never could fully understand the deep sadness which was the groundwork of her nature. It certainly did not prevent the most intense enjoyment of her rich temporal and spiritual blessings, while it indicated depths which her friends did not fathom. It was partly constitutional, doubtless, and partly, I suppose, from her keener sensitiveness, her larger grasp, her stronger convictions, her more vivid vision, and more ardent desires. Even the glowing, almost seraphic love of Christ, which was the chief characteristic of her later life, was, in her words, but longing and seeking. She was an exile, yearning for her home, stepping heavenward, and knowing better than the rest of us just what that meant. The year 1870 formed one of the periods in which life reached its highest point of power and enjoyment, she said. From its opening to its close, she was, to borrow an expression from her Richmond journal, one long sunbeam. Everywhere, in her home, with her friends, by sick and dying beds, in the house of mourning, in the crowded street or among her flowers at Dorset, she seemed to be attired with constant brightness. Of course, there were not wanting hours of sadness and heart sinking. Nor was her consciousness of sin, or her longing to be freed from it, perhaps ever keener and more profound. But still, the main current of her existence flowed on, untroubled, to the music of its own loving, grateful, and adoring thoughts. Often she would say that God was too good to her, that she was satisfied and had nothing more to ask of life. Her cup of domestic bliss ran over, and as to her religious joy, it was at times too much for her frail body, and she begged that it might be transferred to other souls. Her letters give a vivid picture of her state of mind during this memorable year, and yet only a picture. In 1867, she wrote to a friend, there's a book I would be glad to have you read, and which I think you would wish to own, Thoughts on Personal Religion by Goulburn. I never read a modern religious book that had in it so much that really edified me. I take for granted you have Thomas A. Kempis. On that and on Fenelon, I have feasted for years every day. I like strengthening food and whatever deals a blow at this monster self. Madame Guyon, I do not understand. Well, like Elizabeth Prentice, I can say that I have been greatly helped spiritually by Thomas A. Kempis. He is a classic. You ought to be able to find him even in a secular bookstore. The last name is spelled small a, capital K-E-M-P-I-S, and Fenelon, F-E-N-E-L-O-N. You might find him in a Christian bookstore. I'm not really sure. She loved old books, and so do I. She was a woman of great contentment. That says a great deal about a person's spiritual life, doesn't it? She says, indeed, when my husband begged me to tell him what I wanted for Christmas, I couldn't think of a thing. But oh, what unutterable longing I have for more of Christ. One gauge of the measure of our trust in God is contentment. This is Elizabeth Elliot talking now. I'm not reading from Elizabeth Prentice. Let me ask, do you believe that your portion is assigned? Is the one who assigns it the God whose name is love? Does he occasionally make a mistake and apportion a cup carelessly? I'm sure he doesn't. But we're tempted, I think, often to inquire much too closely into what God is doing, what this or that experience means. Reading from Elizabeth Prentice, one of her letters of 1870, she says, I am not sure that it is best for us, once safe and secure on the Rock of Ages, to ask ourselves too closely what this and that experience may signify. Is it not better to be thinking of the rock and not of the feet that stand upon it? Good question. Is it not better to be thinking of the rock and not of the feet that stand upon it?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.